What's up? You tied. Can't figure it out. You both win this week. Okay. If you don't know, we play a little game every week. At least we've started doing this. I've started doing this just to have fun. And whoever's the loudest, which side is the loudest, we part the waters right here. And y'all tied this week, so that's good. Thank you for being here this morning. It's so good to see you. I know we've got a ton of folks out of town. We've got a lot of our staff and just a lot of our volunteers and leaders out of town this weekend, I know. So we kind of anticipated a little bit smaller bunch, but it actually looks like not as many of you went to the lake as what we thought. So thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Just a couple of quick things I just want to kind of let you know we're going to get into some good stuff this morning. Just want to thank all of you that came Friday night to the deal for Stephanie Beard and for her family, the benefit. The band kind of actually didn't know that they were playing in that until we were in staff meeting on Monday night and somebody brought up that it was in the exchange. And so we kind of did a little finagling and made it work, and they raised some money for them. And in fact, I've had a couple people ask, is there a way that I can just give some money to help that family? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Stephanie Beard's one of the teenagers in our church. She was in a bad car accident about 2 months ago and had a spinal cord injury. And she is in rehabilitation right now at a place in Atlanta that specializes in spinal cord injury stuff. If you take a notion, they're going to be there a little while longer. It's going to cost a ton of money, as you can imagine. And on top of that, both Mom and Stephanie's stepdad, Ray and Jolynn, who both are very active here at 24, are down there with her, which means they're not up here working, if you get what I'm saying. So if you have a dime that you want to drop their way, if you'll just write that check. Tell you what, just write that check to Ray LaCroix and just make it simple. That way it's not even going through the church. We'll just take those checks and we'll just send them to them, and maybe that can help that family out during a time of need when they, I'm sure, will need it. And they greatly appreciate it. In fact, Jolynn told me to tell everybody thank you for everything that you've done and all your prayers and all your phone calls and all that stuff. And I talked to Stephanie this week, and she is maintaining an incredible attitude throughout this whole thing. If you know Stephanie, then you know that she knows how to smile. And I asked Jolynn on the phone this week, I said, is she still smiling? And she said, yes, she is. And so she's doing well, and we're excited to hear about that. So just another quick thing, wanted to kind of let you know, because we've had a lot of folks ask about this deal. eBay store has been approved for the church. We are official, where you can actually go on eBay. You can actually go on eBay and sell something. If you have sold something on eBay before, you can actually go on and sell it yourself and choose 24 Church as the beneficiary of the funds for that thing. We're going to have more information on that. It just got approved late Friday afternoon, and so we've not had enough time to line everything up to have information out, but here's what we are going to do. This week, later in the week, there is a link already on our church website that you can click on, and later in the week, it should be where you can click on it, and it will take you actually to 24's eBay store. But also, we'll be sending out an email that has information of how it's going to work and how you can be involved with that if you're wanting to give something or sell something or whatever. All that money, by the way, if you didn't know, is going toward our building project, and so that's a very cool thing. And that leads me to one last thing, and that is, if you do not receive emails from us, then that means that we don't have your email. And you may say, well, I've turned it in before. Well, maybe you didn't write it where somebody could read it, or I don't know. You know how all that stuff gets. If you want to be on the list, make sure that today, take your worship guide, even if you've been here for a million years, and just put your name and just put add to email list and put your email in there on the little thing that you can tear out of the worship guide and drop that later and make sure that we can get you on the list. We've sent out several emails this week, including the one about Stephanie's deal, which we kind of had to play catch up to because of finding out some things late in the game. Anyway, just kind of letting everybody know what's going on with all that. So let me pray for us this morning, and we'll hit this. God, I just thank you so much for your word. And God, I just pray, Lord, that this morning, God, that it would just speak. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take the gift of life for granted. And God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't squander what you've given us, but that, God, that we would take it and that we would use it to glorify you. God, I just pray that this morning, God, that you would speak to our hearts as we are going to do our best to speak to yours as we've tried to do through worship this morning, and as we're going to continue to do through your word. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would do a work in us and a work in this place. Just rest on us. Speak through your word. Lord, let the power in your word just hit us like a ton of bricks. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning, we are talking about something that happens to me quite often. Have you ever lost something? Of course you have. We've all lost something. Some of you in here are perpetual losers, not because you're a loser, but because you lose things all the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of you, if you know, I know, like, we've got some husbands and wives and some people, like, looking at each other and like, you always lose this. You lose your keys, you lose your phone, you lose your wallet, you leave this here, you leave that there. I know how it is. I had a pocket knife that is a really pretty cool pocket knife. It's actually not that cool now. I think like everybody has one, but back in the day when I first got it, I think an ex-girlfriend gave it to me or something, but back in the day when I first got this pocket knife, it was like a cool pocket knife to have, and not everybody under the sun had one of these things, and it was like a Smith & Wesson pocket knife. This is back when they first came out, and you couldn't just like pick one up at the gas station like you can now. I've got this pocket knife, and the crazy thing about this pocket knife, I used to keep it in this old truck that I had, and I knew exactly where it was all the time. But then we would get to where we moved, and I would take the truck had a top that came on and off of it, like a Jeep or whatever, and the pocket knife would stay in the top when I would take the top off of it. So I'd have to remember to get it out. And so what would happen was I would wind up looking for this pocket knife and not knowing where it was. And it would, you know, get in one pants pocket, or it'd end up in a drawer. And now, even like right now, today, I'm not exactly sure where the pocket knife is. I have it. And it just kind of surfaces at times in like the oddest places. And we'll be going through some stuff, you know, like it seemed like several months ago we were going through some files that we have at home for the church, and when we were getting it started, we were just kind of going back through some stuff and looking at some stuff. And in the bottom of the file box, there's the knife. Well, and then, you know, I took it out and I was like, yo, I'm going to keep this where I can find it because I might want to use it. Probably not, but, you know, I might. And so I took it out and I put it, you know, where I thought I was going to find it and have it, and all the time, you know, I know where it was. And I don't know where it's at right now. We lose things, but when we find them, there's kind of a joy that comes over us when it's something that we're really looking for. When it's something that, you know, it's like the whole, you know, like, oh, there's my wallet. I'm so glad it's there. And, you know, not, you know, just down at the bus station with people handing out everything that's inside of it or whatever. You know, we get to the point when we've lost something that we are really looking for, we start really fretting it. And when we find it, there is a joy that comes with finding it. This passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning talks about that kind of joy. And it talks about something that was lost. In fact, in this chapter of the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 15 of the book of Luke basically consists of three different stories that Jesus is telling. And each and every one of the three stories, we're not going to read all three stories this morning, we're going to focus in on one. But all three stories focus in on this very thing: something that was lost, and then something that was found. The passage of scripture that we're looking at today is about a guy that had two sons. And this guy was a good man. He was very wealthy, and he had a lot of property and a lot of stuff. And the way it went down, and as custom to Jewish and all this stuff, law and whatever, and the deal was with all this stuff is when a guy had a whole lot of stuff and he had sons, everything would be divided amongst the sons. And usually, this would happen when dad died. Great thing to talk about on Father's Day, huh? Hey, we got one family that's with us this morning that is thankful that their dad is still with them this morning. Isn't that right? We've seen an amazing thing happen in the life of a family this week with a father that is sticking around, and it's a cool thing to get to hear this story. Well, this story here this morning, these two sons, the way it would work out, as customary, was that the older son would always get double whatever the other sons would get. Well, this guy only had two sons, so basically, older son would have gotten two-thirds and younger son would have gotten one-third. Well, younger son comes along to dad and he says, "Hey, dad, here's the deal. I don't want to wait for you to die. I just want my stuff right now." Well, this was like a hugely, like, very disrespectful thing for a son to have said to his father. But this is what he wanted. And, of course, dad being just a, you know, good dad and just loving his son and, you know, just believing in him, probably said, "You know what, I tell you what, I'll go ahead and settle up. You can go ahead and take your share right now." This made the other son real happy, I can just tell you. Well, this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, there was a man who had two sons. This is verse 11, by the way, of chapter 15. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, we don't really know all of what happens in his wild living, but we can just kind of let our imaginations run wild. In verse 14, it says, "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Now, let me just kind of put this in perspective for us this morning. Because Jewish law would dictate that pigs were unclean animals. They weren't supposed to eat them. They weren't supposed to touch them. It was like the cooties. The pigs had the cooties. And here is this guy, and he has gotten all this stuff from dad, and he has taken off. He is out on his own, and he is doing his thing, but guess what he does? He blows it. He blows it all on stuff that he was not supposed to be doing. And he loses everything that the father gave him. And he is left with a time that came across the land of a drought. And in this drought, food extremely hard to come by, water extremely hard to come by, the whole bit, he is struggling. And so he goes to someone and he just says, "Look, I need a job." Well, jobs even being hard to come by, he said, "All right, I'll give you a job. Here's your job. Your job is to go feed the pigs." Once again, unclean animals, got the cooties, but what's he do? He goes and feeds the pigs. Not only does he feed the pigs, but he is watching what the pigs are eating, these pods that came from a particular type of tree. And this stuff, this nasty junk that the pigs are eating, he's thinking to himself, "I would like to have some of that." I mean, he has hit rock bottom. He is at the low of the low of the low. And he's just willing to do anything. Well, he kind of comes to his senses here. In fact, it says in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father." Now right here we see something happen in this story that Jesus is telling that is something that takes a lot to do. The biggest struggle that we have so many times, especially we as men, have so many times, is overcoming our pride. We are so prideful at times that we will allow everything in our life to come to the point where we've blown it all, and we'll wait till we hit rock bottom before we'll step up and just say, "You know what? I need to apologize, or I need forgiveness." I asked someone recently to apologize to somebody else. As far as I know, they didn't do it. And it didn't hurt me that they didn't do it. They didn't hurt me to begin with. It didn't have anything to do with me. But the thing that I felt for in this particular situation was that this person has so much pride that they are allowing Satan to find a foothold in their life to keep them from growing further in their relationship with Christ. Pride is one of those things that will own us if we let it. But we don't have to. And this youngest son finally came to a point, as it says in Scripture, he came to his senses. And he was going to go back to dad. And so, it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And let me just kind of go ahead and just kind of fill you in on this. It was not like a customary thing for dads to be just hugging and kissing on their sons. Even in situations like this, this was a really big deal. And Jesus is trying to make a point here, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. It says, the son said to him in verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. This passage of Scripture shows us an amazing amount of love. An amazing amount of forgiveness. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's Father's Day. And when it's Father's Day, I think of my dad. And I think about all of the stupid stuff I have done during my lifetime. And I think about how every single time that I would come back to my dad and say, Dad, I'm an idiot. I did this. I'm so stupid. I've wrecked another car. I've got another speeding ticket. Whatever it is, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. I think I said that about 13 times about the wreck part, but Dad would always embrace me, and he would always love me. I know that there are a lot of folks here probably today that probably can't say that about their dad, and I'm sorry for that. And let me just kind of say something to that for just a second. I have figured out during ministry that those of us that don't have a good relationship with our earthly father have a hard time understanding the relationship that God wants to have with us as our heavenly father. In fact, I think Satan uses that a lot on us. And it's one of those things that we've got to overcome. And it's a tough thing to overcome. But the things that we have trouble with are things like the issue of trust and the issue of forgiveness. And this morning, Jesus is painting this picture for us to see the ultimate forgiveness. As a matter of fact, if you go back into this passage of Scripture, it says, verse 21 says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. You see, Jesus is paralleling this passage of Scripture. He's telling a story. And the story may or may not have happened. We don't know if it really happened or if Jesus is using this to teach us something that he wants us to understand about God the Father. Either way, we know that he's wanting to teach us something about God the Father. And what he's wanting us to understand is that he loves us unconditionally. To a point that as much as I'm a new dad, and I love my daughter in a way that I cannot even describe in words. And I heard so many people say that to me before I was going to have a child, that, Chris, you just don't even know. And now I understand. And it's not something you can put in words. But it's one of those things that even as much as I love Gracie, God loves me even more than that. And the best part is that I'm going to fail Gracie at times because I'm a human being. And as much as I don't ever want to do that or even want to think about it, that's going to happen. But God will never fail. His love for us is unconditional, and it's everlasting, and it's forever and ever and ever. And that's an amazing thing. This passage shows us so much about the love that God has for us. And as Jesus is teaching this, he's wanting us to see something. It says, back in verse 20, it says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Again, not a customary thing for a dad to do back in the day. You don't see a whole lot of dads doing this today, but there are more than there used to be, and that's a great thing. But one of the things even that's happening here is this running scenario. The running, the kissing, the hugging, just the joy that is coming from a dad whose child has returned. And for us to understand, for us to paint the picture, and if you're not a Christian here today, this is so where you're at. Because God created every single one of us, and in creating us, he longs for a relationship with us. And we've been talking about what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ the last couple of weekends. But he longs for a relationship with us. And in this relationship, that means that at some point, we have to come to our senses and say, I want a relationship with God. I want to go back to the Father. I want him to know me as his son or as his daughter. The joy that comes with that is a joy that God has when we come. And in fact, you go on in this passage of Scripture, and he's got the other son. The other son comes into the picture here, and this is a crazy deal because the other son, he's just hacked off. Let's just face it. He's just mad. And he's not very happy about the whole situation. It says in verse 21, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing." So there's a party going on at his house, and he wasn't invited or didn't know about it or something going on. And, you know, everybody's just getting so crazy, and nobody thought to just invite this guy. Well, verse 26, or at least we think, verse 26 says, "So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.'" And in verse 28, it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." So basically, we got older bro, and he is just not happy here. He is just hacked. And if you really look at this passage of Scripture, what's really going on here in this passage of Scripture is that this is all of a sudden about him. He does not care that the younger brother has shown up on the scene. In fact, he probably hoped that he never would again because he had learned of the things he was done and maybe he was mad about those things. But whatever the case, older brother is pretty upset. And so dad has to come, and he does so in verse 31, and it says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And you see, there's something that the dad says right there. There's something that the father says to the older son right there in that moment. And he says, "We had to celebrate. We had to. It's not a choice. It's not something that we just said, oh, well, let's come up with a list of things we could do." No, we had to celebrate. And you see, when one of us returns to the Father, that is exactly what he does. when we return to God, when we come to the point in our life where we say, you know what, God? I've been doing it my way all along. And I'm done doing it my way. I want to do it your way. He's there. And He's waiting. And He is going to run to us. And He's going to embrace us. And He's going to kiss us. And in heaven, there is going to be a celebration going on, because that's what Scripture tells us. And it has to be that way. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're not sure if you know Christ. Maybe you're not even sure about this whole Christianity thing altogether. I'm just here to tell you today, it's the greatest thing that you will ever encounter in your entire life. And I can't talk you into it, and I can't, you know, this is a between you and God thing, and you have to come to the point that this younger son came to swallow your pride and say, you know what, God? I've done it my way. It's not working. I want to do it your way, and I want to leave all of that other stuff behind me. In fact, to have faith in God means something that is so huge and so enormous, I can't really put it into words, but the best that I can do just for the moment here is for you to understand that it is doing something that does not make sense. It is putting all rationality aside and just saying, you know what? I'm going to put all that aside. I'm going to put all my preconceived notions about who God is and what God is and all that stuff. And I'm just going to look at the Scripture, and I'm just going to understand this one thing. And that's that He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. And in that, I can have a relationship with God. And if you want to have a relationship with God today, I would love to get to talk to you. Right after the service, I'm going to hang out down here. You have priority over anybody that wants to talk to me. You just bust right through the line and say, me and you need to talk and pray together. That's the only time I need to be taken off. Somebody took me off last week. Don't take me off. Not tick me off, take me off. If you want to talk about that, then you've got complete priority. You may be here this morning. Maybe you know Christ. Maybe you're a Christian and you're just sitting here today and you're going, Chris, how does this apply to me this morning? I already know God. Well, this applies to us in so many different ways. I don't even have the time, but I'm just going to give us a basic couple of things that's going on here in this passage of Scripture. And number one, that is that God has given us everything that we've got. And it's up to us to make sure that we don't blow it, that we don't squander it. And I'm not talking about just earthly possessions here. I'm just talking about our life in general. That we don't blow opportunities that God gives us to talk with people, to spend time with people. I know this week I had one of those moments. I had a busy week this week. It seems like everybody's had a busy week this week that I've talked to. And I had one of those moments in the middle of the week that I'll just be honest with you, because I'm a human being and sometimes I think like this, that somebody was like, hey, I'd really like to just talk to you about this. And it wasn't like super, super important. And we met with a ton of people this week, so all these people are probably going to be thinking right now, he must be talking about me. I'm not talking about you. It's okay, because I didn't meet with this person. but I thought to myself, you know, I just don't want to meet with them. I just don't want to do it. I'm busy, I'm tired, I've got a lot to do. It'd just be nice to not, just one time, just once. And we're actually going to meet this coming week, and that's a good thing. But, you know, I just, for a split second, you know, it's one of those deals that we all struggle with. And I do it, and we all do it. We're all thinking it, and we're all just, you know, oh, you know, I want to be a good Christian, but, you know, I don't want to give up my time, or I don't want to, you know, have to, you know, squander, you know, what I think is important for what really is important sometimes that we need to spend time doing for the kingdom. And this passage of Scripture leads us not only to understanding that, but it also leads us to understanding it is important for us to love and forgive like God loves and forgives. And let me just kind of ask you this question this morning, and you could be a Christian here this morning, you could be a non-Christian, this will apply across the board, it doesn't matter. Are you holding a grudge against somebody right now? Because if you are, you're the older brother. That's exactly where you're at. and you're basically saying to God, it doesn't matter what somebody's done to you, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, you forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you're going to trust them with your car keys. Let me just kind of clarify that. There is a difference here. But your forgiveness of something that somebody has done to you, or something that you've maybe done to somebody else where you need to go and ask forgiveness, your choice in saying, I don't want to deal with it, is you saying to God, I don't want to come in the house. I don't want to come into your celebration. I know it's great what's going on in there. I'm glad y'all killed the fattened calf for bro, but hey, you know what? I'm hacked off at him, and I don't want to come in. And what happens there is a break. And that break not only hurts your relationship with that person, but it hurts your relationship with the Lord. And it's so important for us to understand that. We could do a whole series on forgiveness. But this morning, that's almost kind of like the final word that God has just given me with this passage of Scripture as I see it, is that number one, this is definitely a picture of the love that God has for us and the joy that's happening in heaven when somebody comes back to the Father and turns from this life and turns towards God. We see that, and that is so amazing. But the second flip side of this thing is that, you know, if we're not running toward God, we're running away from Him. And we're just saying, I don't want to be in your party. And that's something that we've just got to be honest with ourselves. And as Paul says, we've just got to examine our hearts and make sure that our hearts are pure. And that's something that I have to do every day. The band's going to come and lead us in a worship song. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Like I said, I'll be down here afterwards, or you know, if you don't want to talk afterwards, just do it immediately after something. Don't wait, because you'll find plenty of excuses to not make that move later. And that's not just you deciding that, but that's somebody kind of working on you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Chris, I know Christ. I'm down with that, but I'm holding a grudge. The grudge is there, and it's a big part of who I am right now, and it's affecting my relationship with the Lord, and I don't want it to anymore. I want to change that. And if that's you this morning, I just want to say, you can overcome that. And I've seen some people close to me, people that I've just gotten to minister to, come so far in forgiving somebody of something that hurt them so bad. Maybe it's your marriage is on the rocks and you're thinking, you know, I can't ever forgive that person. You can forgive that person. And it is worth doing. And I just want to just pray for us this morning. I just want to pray that our hearts would be pure, not just as individuals, but as a church. That God would unify us together. And so as we pray that this morning, I just ask that you would just seek the Lord with all your heart. Let's just pray for just a moment. God, I just thank you so much for allowing us to get to study your word. God, I just pray, Lord, that it would sink in on our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that the story of a son who ran away, God, would resonate with those that you want it to resonate. God, this is your word, not mine. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak it into our hearts this morning, to every single one of us, because, God, this is something that we all need to hear. God, that we are constantly forgiving, that we are constantly loving. God, I just pray that this morning, God, that you would just move in the life of someone that's here that maybe does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. God, that you could do that today in their life, that they would come hang out after the service for just a few minutes and just talk, maybe pray. To come to know you. God, I pray, Lord, for all of us that our hearts would be pure. God, that we would not be here to put on a show. God, that we would be here to worship you. And that in worshiping you, God, we would come away changed. God, do a great thing in our heart. Do a great thing in our lives this morning. God, as we are going to worship you even further this morning, God, as we sing to you. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would be honored, that you would be praised, that you would be glorified. We love you so much, God, and may that come out through this song as we sing to you in the next few moments. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.